The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on 100.2 FM, Freeview 277, and online at bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
I'm just sending Wayne some pictures of the Wigmore, because it's really nice.
Are you sending him pictures of food?
Yeah, little baby crumpets, homemade crumpets with crab on top. Absolutely delicious. And then these amazing Scotch eggs. I'll put some photos later.
I'll tell you what made me laugh. I saw a tweet a few days ago, and someone said, "I'm a vegan, and nobody told me that Scotch eggs have meat in them, and I've been eating them for ages."
Vegans don't eat eggs anyway. Yeah.
I think that's part of the thing that says, "Why were you eating a Scotch egg at all?"
Yeah. Well, you know, my crackers that I have got plant-based all over them now. I don't need to know that a cracker is plant-based. Yeah. It's bonkers. It's just another marketing thing, isn't it? But I do love a Scotch egg, and they were lovely. They were like little ones. Interesting.
I saw someone advertising plant-based baked beans the other day. Really? Really?
Wayne Cunnington has blessed me live on air. Mm. And he says 11s, 12s is all good stuff. He hasn't seen me have the biscuit at 2s yet.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Wayne, where she puts it, I do not know. I do not, if I look at food and I just swill, yeah. I look at a biscuit and I put on 5 pounds just before I've even put it in my mouth. She eats and drinks incessantly 18 hours a day and doesn't change shape.
We envy you.
Yeah.
I know. At the Business Terrace, NatWest Business Builder at the Business Terrace. The next session in the Business Builder series from NatWest is Building a Resilient Business. And it's taking place on Wednesday the 7th of June at 10:30 a.m. at the Business Terrace, King Street, Maidstone. If you go to kempersisradio.co.uk/Canada, you find out all about it and book your place. There's also, she nearly spoke, I got in there.
I
saw her lips move and I thought, I'm in there, like a ferret up a drain pipe.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Medway Business Meetup. This new event is open to all businesses in Medway, whether you be a freelancer, a one-person operation, or run multiple companies across the town. It's taking place at Dragon Co-working, which is 7 to 8 New Road Avenue, Rochester, from 6 to 8 p.m. on the 22nd of June. As always, find out more and book your place at kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
No, it's just very annoying. What I was going to say, I was going to moan, actually, Paul Andrews.
No, that's unlike you.
The Wigmore, I'm on Langham Hotels, which is where the lovely Michelle Rue was, where I did eat at his... it was lovely. It wasn't... as amazing as Le Gavroche, which is everybody should go to Gavroche. It's not cheap, but it's a once in a lifetime for me. Anyway, it was beautiful. I have been twice, of course. Once Michelle paid, so that doesn't count. But the Langham.
If we're going to go through a list of all the restaurants you've ever eaten in, we will be here for the next 8 years.
Yeah, well, some good ones in South Africa. Mm. But the Langham. So I've gone on their social media, so I can tweet them and how lovely it was and pictures and things. And if I go on their Facebook emoji, whatever it's called, that goes through to Facebook. If I go on the Twitter, you watch. Works on radio. It goes on to my Twitter. It doesn't go on to their Twitter. So I still don't know what their Twitter is.
I haven't got one.
About. Really?
Yeah.
And why have they got the Twitter symbol on their website?
Because they want you to tweet without tweeting them.
That's really annoying. I've never seen that before.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
Really?
It's where people devise a website and put the socials in there when they haven't got a social media account for that Twitter.
Oh, that's really annoying. Mm-hmm. Well, I will. I'll follow them on Instagram. I don't really like Instagram. It's a bit shouty, I find. My friend Serenity Swalecliffe now. I bit my nails last week. Stress. You bite your nails sometimes, don't you, Paul Andrews? Do you? Yeah.
Not really.
Oh, is that a bitten one?
Yeah, okay.
That's a whole finger. Come on.
That's been bone.
I took the top of my finger off over the weekend.
What, are you eating it?
No.
What were you doing?
I trapped it in the dishwasher door.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I stitched it myself.
Oh, no. Mm. That sounds awful. Mm. Really? Mm. How did you do it? Because A&E, you'd have been 21 hours.
I would have bled to death if I went to A&E, and there was no one in the house, so I put on my... I've got a box of dissolving sutures.
Really?
Yeah, so
you
I sutured my own
finger.
For this
very occasion?
Huh?
You keep them for this very occasion?
I keep them for that very reason.
Well, what I would have done if I was you, I'd have gone over to Poland, because they're quite good. The reason
I could have done. I could have left a note. Yeah. Yeah. Sorry I didn't cook the dinner, gone to Poland, cut my finger.
To get
that would make sense, wouldn't it, really?
It's where you're going now. You can go to Poland or, I think, my
Turkey.
Turkey's good, but Turkey now there's VAT on it.
Yeah, yeah. Turkey's your teeth and your hair.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. And Poland.
Poland's suturing your finger when you cut it, yeah, obviously.
Now, listen to this.
Right,
so my friend Serenity Swalecliff, that's the lovely Rebecca Nutt, who has three beauty salons, one in Broadstairs, one in Faversham, and one in Whitstable, but it's Swalecliff, but we call it Whitstable. She's looking for electrolysis hair removal models. Now, I've had electrolysis, a course, on my upper legs and bikini. Amazing. I will never have to shave my bikini or have it waxed again in my life. Mm. Great. And you know why I did it?
We're back to talking about your bush, aren't we?
Yeah. Why I did it, you need to listen to the back show know that I do have a buckthorn bush, which is a proper bush. Anyway, so the reason I did it was when my poor mother-in-law was sadly dying, it was really awful, in hospital, and there was no care, and we're going to talk about how you do it, because I know that you ladies would have done it. There was no dignity, and she was on the bed, sheet was up, her legs were akimbo, and her legs were very hairy. So I said to my friend Rebecca, I never want to be on my deathbed with my new husband seeing my bikini wax not done.
I mean, come on. I mean, dying, not a problem. Yeah. Dying with hairy legs, not an issue, not having it. Yeah.
It's a no-no for me. So I've done a course of electrolysis, and it's been amazing. So I had one a month.
Yeah,
and you mustn't go out in the sun. You need dark hair. So I am actually dark. And now on my deathbed, I'm going
to
look.
To go back. You're going to look glamorous.
You're going to look.
No.
You're going to look the most glamorous cadaver.
Yeah.
It's going to be a competition, isn't it? Glamorous cadaver, 2023. Miss Glamorous Corpse.
It's the one competition I could probably win.
Yeah.
But I'll give you her number, because if you want to be a model, she's my bestie. So she's my drinking partner, but she does do this sober, just to let you know.
Yeah.
She's sober when she does it. Yeah.
But that is just a shape and polish. Look at the work. How I mean, that's just.
But just try not biting your nails, for goodness sake.
That's not a gel, that's just varnish. Yeah, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
So I do try not biting my nails, but sometimes I work with people that stress me.
Really?
Yeah.
And then you come here on a Tuesday.
And then I bite. Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Do you know what? I'm really bored with this. I want to talk to someone sensible.
I do. Mm. But can I just read out their website?
For goodness sake, yeah.
So go to, if you want to book for this, serenityhealthandbeauty.co.uk. I can see Shanika and Simi taking notes. serenityhealthandbeauty.co.uk. And they are Aguino Crown Salon. They do Lumiere MD, which is medical grade peels. Linton Lasers, that's the machine, IPL, hair removal, skin rejuvenation, Paulie.
Why are you looking at me?
They also have gift vouchers as well, and there are 10A St John's Road, Swalecliff, Whitstable. If you have it done, try the freebie as a model, then come see me and have wine.
Ah, lovely.
Yeah.
Good.
I've just found the corner.
I'll go and have electrolysis then, in case I die.
I tell you, I'm going to have the best legs ever when I die.
The best dead legs.
Yeah,
okay.
Not a hair in sight.
Yeah, good. I don't know, I'm not even going there. Yeah. I'm going to talk to two sensible ladies. Listen, it's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show, Simi and Candice. So, welcome to the show. Thank you so much. What did I just call you?
Denise.
Why did I call you that?
And you said it right all the other times.
I know. I don't know why I said that wrong.
Nerves, it's all right.
I'm nerves. Yeah, I've never done this before.
Yeah.
It's Janice, of course, and Simi. And welcome to the show. Thank you for joining us. It's her. She's thrown me. I got this picture of a dead woman with her legs shaved, and I just can't get that out of my head now.
Electrolysis is not shave. It's laser.
I really don't care.
They go into the hair follicle, and it never goes
I really don't care. I'd much rather care that you...
lose the image, Paul Andrews.
Yeah.
Move on.
Anyway, listen. Denise, Simi, welcome to the show. Thank you. Sorry about that rubbish introduction. Thank you for joining us. Now, you guys run Radcliffe Home Care.
That's
right. Based in the Bromley-Orpington area of Kent. And we still insist it's Kent, despite the fact that they pretend it's a London borough. Yeah, but it is definitely Kent, as far as we're concerned. So thank you for joining us. Why don't you kick off by telling us a little bit about each of you? We found out earlier that Simi's a mum of four with some twins, and she may have a husband somewhere, but she doesn't really remember.
Right.
But we don't know much about Janice, so... Well, let's hear from both of you, a bit about your backgrounds, and then we'll start talking about your business, yeah?
Yeah, okay. Well, I actually previously worked in recruitment for many years, so this is a different sector that I went into, but I fell into the home care sector, and I actually just, I was in the office, so I wasn't actually doing any care in the beginning.
Can I just ask, when you worked in recruitment, were you working in the same... Were you working in recruitment in care and social...
No, financial services.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, it's completely different. I think that's why I fell in love with care so much.
Doing something completely different,
yeah. It's just so tough and brutal and, yeah, everyday anxiety, basically. Mm-hmm. So, I fell into home care, and then I was in the office behind the scenes, and I actually just saw how everyone worked. I thought, this doesn't seem like work. It was so... Everyone was passionate. Everyone actually wanted to be there because everyone was obviously making a difference. Mm. And to be honest, in recruitment, you are making a difference, but sometimes it doesn't feel like it.
Yeah, sure.
It's a bit slimy, and it's just, yeah, it's not... I don't know. I think I always say, I don't know if I was the person for it. I think I'm too kind to be in recruitment. So,
I'm saying nothing.
So, I fell into it, and everyone was just passionate about it, and I kind of... was just intrigued, and obviously I didn't think I would be there that long, and then all the years later I'm here now, so definitely was the right choice.
So let me just pick through this. You were working in financial recruitment.
Three years.
Yeah, you were working in financial recruitment, you got a hump with that, didn't want to do it anymore, and you went into care, but working in the office to start with?
So I was actually doing payroll, and I was doing marketing, so I was working across three, and I was, so I was doing both, so it was literally just completely behind the scenes, but it did give me a good... Now, all of the things that I learnt behind the scenes obviously helped me to run the business, actually, so it is quite handy. And obviously my recruitment experience has come in handy as well. It's a different type of recruitment that we do now. It's not as forceful, but yeah, it has helped me along the way. But I think, I wanted to start doing the care side of things. So I asked, can I just help out doing a few care calls? And then I literally done one, and I was like... It's because you don't know what it is. I think a lot of people don't know what to expect. They just see it as...
There's the perception about the care industry that is wholly incorrect, but it's kind of taken hold, and it we're going to talk about this later maybe, but it prevents people pursuing a career in social care and health care because they've got this incorrect perception of what it's all about. We'll talk about that in a minute. So... You're working in the office.
Yeah.
They let you out one day.
Yeah. Well, I was lucky enough. I didn't have such a bad perception because obviously I was working alongside the coordinators and the supervisors and the registered manager. So I had honest opinions from them. And they used to say, you need to meet this person. You need to meet this person. I was like, okay, wait for my DBS. Once my DBS came.
What's the DBS?
The DBS. So that's like the check that you do.
What's it? It's long word.
Gosh, the
disclosure. So is it the police check?
It's the criminal records check.
You have to have that.
I had that when I worked in schools. But
you can have an adult one.
I don't think mine was called DBS.
No, they changed the name a few years ago to DBS.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I had to have that. Obviously, couldn't go out without that. So as soon as I came back, I was like, can I just go out for a day? So I went alongside the manager. She introduced me to a few people, and I was like, this is amazing. She's like, this one you just go and make a cup of tea, this one you help in the morning. Obviously everyone has different needs.
Exactly.
You don't have to have nursing qualifications?
No, you don't have to have nursing qualifications, no. So she done all my training, because I was in the office, it was quite handy. One of the days she just said,
You have to have training, though. You just don't need to be a nurse.
No.
Do you need to bandage and change bandages?
No, we don't change any bandages. Okay. So that we would just, that the district nurse would come out and do that.
Okay.
We would just be there, maybe, one day there. So the training I done in the office, and then it was just, literally, I think a lot of the things that you learn are in real time when you're out and about on the field. So yeah. I did my shadowing alongside the manager, and it was just, yeah, I just really fell in love with it. I think it's just because you really are helping people every day.
Mm.
You see the difference. Once they get to know you, I think that's the nice thing, when they actually know you by your name and they're expecting you to come in.
You build relationships,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah. Yeah.
And just for completeness, Janice, when we talk about these kind of things, we tend to think about old folks like Jules and what have you.
Yeah, much older.
See what I did there.
Yeah.
Is there? Do you ever do care for much younger people for different reasons, or is that not something that tends to happen?
So, well, us at present, all of our clients are over 65.
Right.
Obviously, we don't. It doesn't mean that we can't provide care to anyone that's below 65. Obviously, we don't have we're not CQC registered to do child care. So anyone under the age of 18, which is fair enough, because we're obviously regulated by CQC.
And to be honest, there are particular schemes for people that have disabilities and what have you. They have what are called personal assistants, which they hire and are paid for by the government.
I will. Just through my obviously experience, I've met a lot of different ages, a lot of different people, all different care needs, different things they're going through. Some people just want to chat. They're just there for companionship. We're just there to sit and make a cup of tea and talk with them. Mm. Some people obviously need a little bit more support. But I think that's the beauty of it, because you learn each person's needs and you don't even have to go off the care plan. It's literally about when you know them, you're just there to support exactly what they need in that moment. They might not want something in the morning that's on the plan, and you'll just be there and say, what is it you actually want? Oh, I just want to chat today.
Now, I think I heard you say, and correct me if I'm wrong, Shanice, that you're the registered care manager as well.
I'm the care manager.
So tell me about that. So 1 minute you're just swanning around sticking horrible bankers into jobs, and the next minute you're a registered care manager. So what happened there? How did that come about?
Well, so when I was obviously working in the role, then I actually started doing my care calls, and I did become passionate about it. I'd actually started doing my level 5 in leadership and management for health and social care. So once I started doing that, that's when I didn't actually have this completely in mind to go out and do my thing. Honestly, I didn't think, oh, that's what I want to do, definitely. But I think working alongside Simi, we kind of discussed it briefly, and then we realised that we're almost on the same page, weren't we? We thought, it would be great to do it, but it's like, would we do it on our own? And obviously, Simi with the kids, and I was just thinking, can I do it on my own? I guess it's just a bit of self-doubt. Everyone has that.
Yeah, of course.
It was just quite daunting at first. And then when you obviously have someone alongside you, it makes the process a lot easier.
Yeah.
And it's nicer. And then I think we were having a conversation for about a year, weren't we?
Well, let's turn to Simi and get your background in, Simi. We've had enough of Shanice now. She's got us so far. Let's hear from you and what your background is and how you kind of collided with Shanice and then where you went from there. Yeah.
My background was completely different. Although, as you know, I've got the 4 kids, but besides from that, I was solicitor for a number of years in the private client department. So I did real power of attorneys and
for a law firm.
Yep. I spent most of my life in different legal departments, and cared for elderly clients mainly, dealing with elderly matters, anything to do with inheritance tax and what have you,
and last in powers of attorney probably.
So my clientele has always been the same, but now in a different capacity. I took a career turn when I found out I was pregnant with the twins, and then I thought, is that not I took a big career turn there.
Life-changing event.
Upside down. It was just before the COVID times, really, and I decided that the legal field wasn't as flexible as it was. Now it's a bit different, where you can work from home sometimes, but that wasn't really a call for then.
Mm-hmm.
So I took a step out of that field, and that's where I fell into the care sector.
Wow.
And incidentally, that's where I met Shanice, and we were doing a similar kind of role in the care department that we were working in.
I was going to say, were you both working for the same organisation at that time?
But Shanice had a different role. Mine was more administrative, dealing with client inquiries, like they say, inquiries, but within the office.
Right.
So that's where I met Shanice, and then we realised we shared the same goals and aspirations to form a care business together. I looked at her strengths, she looked at my strengths, and we kind of put our heads together to see where we can deliver sort of a high standard of care. That's what our aim was. And we're both quite passionate with the clients, whether we were in the office or whether she was out there seeing clients. We both share the same sort of ethos and passion of delivering a set of standard of care, really.
Okay.
And that's how we came together.
Okay.
And that's when we put our heads together. We did a lot of research, as you probably do when you're starting up a new business, to establish what care provider that we wanted to go with. And indeed,
so are there a few that you can, you know, for franchising?
Loads, yeah.
You can pick them, can you?
It's like picking them, but it's like doing your research to see which ones share the same ethos and value and passions as you, which ones provide good training, which ones are established, and you can see where they're going from their plan to the present to the future. So we spent actually a year
And I guess, you've also got to find something in the area or region that you want to operate that isn't already taken.
There must be quite a lot of driving involved, presumably.
Mm-hmm. Well, to be honest, in our area, Bromley is massive. I think we didn't realise how big Bromley is until you're actually in it. Because it's like, you think, Bromley, Orpington, but it's massive. So
it used to be Kent, but it's now Greater London.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Kent. Just don't worry about it.
I call it Kent.
Don't pander to the politicians. They keep changing things. We know where it is.
I call it Kent. You should mention that, because when we first started, we thought, Bromley, does that come under London or Kent?
Yeah, what do we know? We've been
going all our lives.
It's one of those things that throws a lot of things, a lot of spanners in works, doesn't it? Because Bromley is a London borough, but everybody that lives in Bromley still believes they live in Kent. I own jobs in Kent. Bromley, Bexley, Orpington, Petswood, Chislehurst, which are all part of London boroughs, are all on jobs in Kent because people want to work locally, and they consider that they live in Kent, no matter what the politicians tell them. I don't know if you know, there's a plan, allegedly, that Dartford is going to become a London borough as well.
Really?
Yeah. See, what they're doing is
gradually creeping.
Well, they're expanding London so that it can hit their they can tick all their boxes that go, we've got another 500,000 houses in London.
Yeah, but last they last wasn't on Zone 6, so it's kind of already in there.
Yeah.
You're thinking about the trains.
Anyway, so you guys got together and decided that you'd like to do this business together.
Yeah.
Can I ask when that was? When did you start planning the business, and when did you launch the business?
I think after sort of a year of planning, and we put in an application. We didn't open till last November, when we officially opened.
In 22.
Last year. And we recently had a launch event as well to celebrate the opening of our business.
Right. So you're about 6 months in now,
Yeah.
You did a year of research. So while you were researching, did you carry on working?
That's right. And then, so we were finally obviously happy with it. We've done all the training. We've been in the care industry for a number of years.
How hands-on was the training?
The training was really comprehensive. We spent quite a number of days at the head office,
which is in Shrewsbury.
So we spent some time there. We done training in different areas of learning about the finance side of things, the business side of things, the care side of things, and then we worked out what our roles were going to be.
And did the company supply you with tools to help and all that?
Everything. And guidance. They've got a whole team in Shrewsbury, basically, behind the scenes that work to support us, well, to all of the franchisees. So they're there whenever you need them. If it's IT, if it's compliance, if it's trying anything.
Well, I wanted to ask you about that, because as an outsider and someone that knows nothing about our business, apart from as a customer, I'm assuming that one of the big benefits behind a franchise business like that is they give you lots of insights into the regulatory compliance and legal side of it, because there must be a lot of that.
Of course,
The DQC application alone is daunting if you were to do it completely alone. Obviously, you have to do it yourself. But just to have that guidance and find what they're looking for, and to go through that process to prepare for the interview, because we both had to do DQC interviews.
I'm a trustee of a number of charities, and we get regularly inspected by the Care Quality Commission. Is that something that you get as well?
Yes, so that's happened to us as well. At the end of the first year, you get your first year inspection. inspection, and you get regular inspections sort of ad hoc.
Nobody expects the Spanish Inquisition.
Nobody's going to run around, but that's where we've received good guidance from head office for learning how to comply with things well, how things should be done properly. Because my background is legally related, so I know how important these things are.
Absolutely.
On top of things as well.
Yeah.
So I find their compliance team amazing.
Mm-hmm.
I find them quite good in that respect to keep us ahead of everything, make sure that there should be someone in line to check if everything's done properly.
Yeah.
And I think that's really important in any sector, as well as the care sector as well.
But it must be really easy to trip up on things, you know, because it's a people-orientated business and your clients can be difficult for all kinds of reasons. I can imagine, I don't need to answer this, I can just imagine that there are things that, you know, that can happen that you think, oh God, you know, how many times have we said you don't do that, and then somebody accidentally did it, or, you know, they just took pity on someone. I'm not going to ask you to comment on this, but, you know, we had a bit of a chat about this off air. As a customer of care services across the board, one of the big frustrations for us as customers is you guys aren't allowed to pick people up when they fall over, and that's a massive problem for us as the family of people that have a tendency to fall over a lot. That says, you know, why can't you do that? I understand why you can't do that. You don't have to explain, but it, you know, these things are frustrating, and I can imagine there are probably some individual carers that just go, do you know what, I'm just going to pick them up, and they'll do that just as the CQC inspector arrives and goes, what are you doing?
Well, they're writing their notes.
It happens because, the example that you've just given, because people have that, the carers,
you have
compassion, and you don't want to leave them on the floor for 16 hours. You do want to help them, but obviously health and safety reasons come into play.
That's the one thing I stress in training. I'm like, if they're on the floor, you can't pick them up. We can get them a pillow, get them a blanket, but we can't.
Frustrating.
It's hard, and I explain it because I've been in that situation where there's someone like, help me, pick me up, and I'm like, I really can't. I can make them as comfortable as possible. I'll even sit on the floor alongside them to wait for a family member. But it's just that we can cause so much more damage picking them up.
That's right. You don't know.
That's the problem.
That's
and
the
it's
risk, isn't it?
And so it is in their best interest. In that moment, it wouldn't feel like it for them. And I would feel like, I'm on the floor, help me up. But the family can support them. It's always nice when there's family that are nearby and local.
So could a family member pick them up?
Yeah, well, of course.
Because
it's completely up to them.
Yeah.
We can't support them. We wouldn't be able to help.
There's two issues with this picking up stuff.
Yeah.
One, if someone's hurt and you don't know they're hurt and you pick them up, you could do more damage.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Especially at their age, they're fragile.
You don't know.
Yeah. And then you become liable for that damage that you've done.
Yeah.
The other point of view, of course, is that carers tend to work alone, and picking up someone on your own is not an easy thing to do if you're a very slight.
Exactly. And obviously, if a family member, if I pick someone up and I hurt her, I don't think she's gonna
sue me.
My
mum would. I'm having you, boy.
So I think it's just more silly like that. But it's hard, obviously, when you hear that you've got to wait 12 hours for the ambulance.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating, to be in that situation.
Yeah.
But like you said, you do get instincts that you come in that the carers think, I'm gonna pick her up. I don't want her lying on the floor for so many hours. So there are instances where that has happened in the past, but it shouldn't really be happening, unfortunately.
Okay, so you're 6 months in. Are you still happy you did it?
Definitely,
100%. Just go over, if you would, very briefly, the type of work that you offer. So what it is that you actually do, you know, as a if you do it like a sales pitch or whatever, what is the services that you provide, what do they cover, and what do you do?
It's so people don't realize that it's not just care, it's anything to support someone living in their own home, basically. So we can do shopping, companionship, domestic tasks, then we can do obviously the personal care, medication assistance, meal preparation. It's literally anything within the own in someone's home.
Yeah.
Obviously,
and
it can
nothing
also vary
putting them at risk.
Vary to sort of living care, daycare, 45 minutes, half an hour, just to cater for their needs as well. It's about giving them the choice. And obviously, when we initially come out, when Shanice comes out, her being the registered care manager, she does a comprehensive care plan to see what their needs are. And they can obviously change along the way, and they get updated. The care plan gets updated regularly because obviously the needs change in the client over time, which is natural. So it's basically supporting them. We treat our care professionals are treated with health people with dementia trained, Alzheimer's as well.
Okay.
We take our clients to hospital appointments, excursions. Yeah. So there's a lot more involved rather than just a helping element of personal care.
Yeah.
It's anything to support them, to enable them to not lose their independence as well.
Sure. Yeah.
Helping people connect to things that we don't want them to lose or that they don't want to lose.
Yep.
And it's just about enabling people to thrive so they don't lose their identity as well.
Yeah.
And most people do lose their independence as well. And that's not something that we should be supporting them with and assisting them with, rather than them losing it completely as well.
Absolutely.
It's just like a better alternative to a care home.
Yeah.
That's what I always say when I speak to family members. I just say, well, it's like you work, well, for most individuals, they've worked their whole life for a house, and as soon as they get older, they're supposed to leave it.
Mm.
It's a bit unfair.
Sell it to pay for their care.
To literally rinse it to the bottom so they have nothing, and they're living in a room in a care home. So it's just, why would you not want to stay in the comfort of your own home? Obviously, if you can.
Yeah.
Not everyone can. Care homes obviously are still good for certain individuals, but there's a lot of people that could just do with 3 or 4 visits a day.
It's interesting. There's a lot of research about care home usage, and it's very rare to last more than 2 years in a care home. Yeah.
What you mean to live?
How
long can you live in your own home?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very different. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, my mum's 93. Your mum's 94.
Yeah.
And they're still in their own home.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But the thing, and this isn't anything against care homes, because they play a very important part of what goes on, and there are a lot of people that you just can't be cared for at home anymore that need to be cared for in a care home. So I'm not knocking care homes, but basically, the longer you can maintain some form of independence, psychologically, the better you feel about your life.
Which is purpose. They say that literally your life expectancy is all to do with purpose. So if you have a sense of purpose in life, then...
My mum and her carer the other day, I went round there and they're playing cards. I think they were playing cards for money as well. And my mum was smoothing her. But again, it's mental stimulation.
Yeah.
It's, just... having someone to chat to and, to tell your life story to.
Very personalised, very self-centred. I mean, in the care home, being told that you have to have your dinner at this time, you have to go to bed at this time as well.
Yeah.
Think of the restrictions that
are
imposed on that individual
that
they lose that independence because they don't get to make the simplest...
My mum till midnight watching football and football
sports. If she wants to,
with a glass of wine.
Yeah.
Might
be bedtime at 8 p.m. and it's not
lights out.
Yeah. My CCTV went off the other night. I'll pass 2 in the morning. I look at it, my mum sat on the edge of the bed eating a choc ice. And I go, fair enough. Cool. So that's the range of services that you provide.
Yeah.
Of course, we live in a society that is ageing.
That's right.
Yeah, without any shadow of a doubt. In fact, we don't have enough young people to some extent. But some of us, not all of us, some of us are living longer. Some of us are going to have our legs shaved before we die.
It's not shaving.
Yeah.
Get it right, Paul.
Yeah, so when Jules retires, she's going to have you guys come in once a week and make sure her legs are in a suitable situation.
Exactly.
To
eyebrows.
Yeah.
This is where it comes down to sort of dignity.
Dignity is so important. Yeah.
People forget about that, and that's so important, whether you're female, male, why should you lose your dignity?
It's the lasting impression that I have of my mother-in-law. And in fact, I took charge and I covered her with a sheet and stuff. But, the family were all in total grief.
Yeah.
And she was dying. And, there was no dignity.
Yeah.
So just covering someone with a sheet and,
And that should be preserved till literally the very last
end.
It's not fair, and you don't want... Like, for example, that you just said that's your last memory now.
Yeah, exactly.
That's hard
to understand. Which is fine for me, but for her husband.
Yeah.
Her nightie was all ruched up. Nobody had thought to pull it down.
Yeah.
She's a woman.
And it's a little task. That's what I always stress in the training. It's just like, of course, personal care. We might as be assisting someone with a shower.
Yeah.
We're going to see them. in their natural state, of course. We understand that. But it's little things you can cover while you're washing the top, cover the bottom,
It's so simple to do.
Yeah. And it can make all the difference.
Yeah, absolutely. It is about dignity, and it is about helping people be as independent as they can be. Absolutely.
And because that also, when they're in their own home, it keeps their mind alert, doesn't it? Because they're having to do stuff for themselves. So still, you know, my mum is quite, your mum is both quite mentally, my mum still walks into Whitstable and she just says, use it or lose it.
That's amazing, that's really good.
If anything, my mum's too independent. I say, look, it's raining, it's windy, stay in, I'll get the newspaper.
My mum the other day, I went round in the afternoon, and the first question I always ask her when I walk in, because it's a laugh, is I go, what day is it? And she never knows. Yeah. She hasn't got a clue what day it is, and she just guesses. It's like when I say, what did you... She always says Tuesday, and the reason she says Tuesday is because she knows that something happens on a Tuesday, and Tuesday's the day I never go.
I mean.
Yeah, so I go, what day is it? She goes, Tuesday. I go, it can't be Tuesday, can it, Mum? Why? Because you're on the radio on Tuesday. Yeah. And then I go, what did you have for dinner? She goes, chicken. I go, no, it was salmon. And she'd go, oh, was it?
Tastes like chicken, though.
Anyway, we go through this routine of, you know, her getting all this wrong. And she sat there watching the television, and it was countdown. And I was going, what day is it? I don't know. What did you have for dinner? I don't know. And all of a sudden she goes, protuberance. Oh, what? She says it's a nine-letter word on countdown. It bloody was as well.
Yeah.
So she's got protuberance. Yeah. I'm going, really?
Your mum was highly intelligent, or is highly intelligent.
Yeah. She's a quiz fanatic. She does Sudoku, crosswords, jigsaw puzzles, and all that kind of stuff. So a very active mind. And she's still very good at all those kind of things. Cool. Yeah.
If I look at my mum, I think that, you know, since my dad died, you know, she was with him from the age of 16. So she spends too much time alone. They had very classical roles, she cooked and cleaned, he did the garden and he worked. So now she's got too much time on her own. She goes to clubs and choir and that.
But
eating on your own every day is not fun.
When my
new husband goes away, I hate eating on my own. I always have really quick things.
I won't cook
when he's away. I'll have a bit of crab or whatever, you know. Mm. But eating on your own is not the same, is it?
Like Shanice was saying, it's more about the companionship element as well.
Yeah.
And about having that sort of befriender to sit there just for company's sake. Rather than anything else. And I think there's a with Zena as well, the event that she's launching next week is about loneliness, highlighting the fact there's more about loneliness than anything else, which is a big problem I think in the
families spread out, don't
That's
they
right.
my kids are all living at, you know, one's in Ibiza and one's in London, and you know, so that when they were younger they'd all pop in and see Nanny once or twice a week. Or they'd go around and have fish and chips, but that doesn't happen now because they're all spread out.
People don't have any family.
Exactly.
So many people that I've met that don't, if they've not had children, and they might have been the youngest sibling, they're literally just out there on their own. That's why I always say when we're doing the training, it's one of the lines we say is like, forget the traffic jam, forget the early start, forget any kind of personal issues you might have at home, because you might be the only person they see that day. They might not speak to anyone else.
Yeah.
Right. And even if they did speak to someone on the phone, it's not the same. You're in their house, you're present with them.
Which is why we need to keep hold of our high streets and our corner shops where they can go into the butcher and have a good old natto, as my mum does. Because if we lose those independent shops, they will have no one.
Literally.
Okay, we're kind of fast running out of time. We're getting towards the end of the show, and I want to talk to you, ladies, about one other element of care, which is something that I'm familiar with from my point of view, which is recruitment into the care marketplace. We've made a couple of references to the fact that there's some perceptions about the care market that isn't particularly good. I just want your feel on how easy or difficult it is to recruit, and the reality of what it's like and what needs to happen to pursue a career in care.
I think we've actually been fairly lucky. Obviously we have struggled, but I think just before we started, I think it was around 2021, everyone was struggling with the recruitment in this sector, and it was actually quite bad.
Yeah.
And I guess it's because obviously after COVID, everyone was feeling underappreciated.
Yeah.
And no one thought it was worth it, and it was just like, why would I go and work when no one actually thinks I'm doing a good job? So now, I do think it's changing. I think it's getting better. With our care professionals that we've hired, it's been quite a smooth process, and we've got more than enough staff. We're quite lucky, because I know that some people don't have enough to run the business.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we've just been using the normal platforms to advertise, which has been quite good for us, and also just I think word of mouth. Once you have, once you're a good organisation and people like the way they work, and that it's easier to pass on things.
I think that, like I said, we've had a smoother process. Some offices obviously are doing international recruitment, which we haven't had the need to do. But I think now people are beginning to understand that there are some kind of benefits being a care professional. Yeah. Like you said before, it's not what people assume it is, or you have that natural stigma. Now we offer a lot of benefits. We're National Living Wage accredited as well. We also provide comprehensive training, which doesn't start from day one. It's continuous process.
Yeah, sure.
Because we believe if you invest in your care professionals, the service will then be passed on to the clients as well. And we offer a lot of career progression as well, which is an
absolutely. Can I just ask? I'm sorry. I'm trying to get all this in before the show ends. We haven't got very long, and there's loads of things I want to know. So, someone with no experience coming into the industry, do they need certain qualifications either before they come in, or do they have to have certain training before they're allowed loose on the members of the public?
Yes, but you don't. So you could come, for example, you could come to us with no care experience at all, and we would train you. So we do 2 days in-house training. So that's quite intense, but it teaches all about Radfield, all about the values, because we want everyone to be in line. And then the second day is about the moving and handling and the medication. You also have to do 14 modules online of e-learning. So that's their kind of their homework to do from home.
Okay.
And then
you're shadowing.
Yes. And then after that, it's shadowing well. Before you get signed off. You have to do a number of hours, well, 15 hours actually, of shadowing out in the field. So alongside me.
Right. Okay.
So we'll be together. So for example, the first few care calls would be me doing everything, and they'll just be standing back observing, and then it switches over where I'm observing them.
Right.
It's kind of like
so you go with them and they start doing things, you go, don't touch that.
So it's like, because I always say people aren't confident, they'd be like, oh, am I okay? And it's like, you're not going to be alone until you're ready, don't worry, I'm not going to send you to anyone on your own.
There's a lot of review. Every couple of months to do a review. We do ad hoc spot checks as well, just to make sure that the care is sort of the standard care that we're looking for. So it's always continuous. Yeah.
Cool. Interestingly, we've made reference a couple of times during the show today to a thing I did in school yesterday, a 30-30. In fact, I've got a 30-30 is a free careers program that I offer to schools where I take 30 businesses in to talk to students. In fact, in September, I've got a social and healthcare special that I'm doing in conjunction with the NHS. We're doing it in Margate, in Broadstairs, so at a school in Broadstairs.
Right.
But there are things that we're going to be rolling out across Kent as well, because the NHS are very keen for people to work in social care because it helps them empty hospitals back into the community.
Yeah.
So they're putting a lot of effort into trying to encourage people. They're also trying to encourage people to go into nursing and medicine in general, but they want more people to work in health and social care too. So we're doing specials like that. Listen, Simi, Shanice, thank you so much for telling us all about your business. We wish you continued success with Radcliffe Home Care. Give us a shout out for how people can get in touch with you should they want to try and find out more or to use your services.
Yeah, well, to be honest, the main thing to go onto is our website. So that is www.radfieldhomecare.co.uk. /Bromley.
Yep.
Yeah, so you can get to our actual area and find us. You can apply through there as well. And if you scroll down to the bottom, there's all the hyperlinks to like our Instagram and our Facebook, so you can get in touch with us on
and
there.
And soon
as
to
well.
Be Twitter, I hear.
Yeah, soon to be Twitter. We don't have Twitter at the moment, so we will be getting that hopefully soon.
Okay. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for that. There's a link to your homepage on the Kent Business Radio website. So if anybody didn't write that down, just go into the Kent Business Radio website and it's there. And of course, this show, which is show number 630, also has all the details and links everywhere.
Thank you.
Simi Shanice, thank you so much for that. We've only got 6 minutes left of the show, so you just got in time. So thank you for that. That was brilliant.
Thank you for having us.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. I need to tell you about this because it's something that's coming out soon, and Simi just made reference to it as well. And then it's the Let's Talk Better, and it's the catalyst for inspiring better conversations around taboo and stigma topics, raising greater awareness and how this can impact people's mental health and well-being. We're grateful to all those who supported us so far and attended the launch event back in February. Our loneliness and connection event is going to be even greater, with lots of interesting talks and discussions along with interactive activities. Please join us and support this campaign at our chosen charity, which is CASPA. And there's an event taking place, I can't remember when it is, it's at the end of May. I know, because I bought my tickets for it. But you can find out by going to eventbrite.co.uk/loneliness and connection. Let's talk better. There's also a link on the radio site.
26th of May.
I thought it was. I bought the tickets and then I didn't remember what time it was or date. So do join us at that, and I'll be there. Jules.
I've just lost it now. So Martin,
you've lost the plot. She's lost the plot. She's finally admitted it live on air.
He came up on my Twitter, and now because you rambled on about something, now I've lost him. It was Martin Reeves,
right?
So charity buddy, and he had a load of. He's not coming up. He had a load of vinyl, which I love vinyl, and he's saying that if he could buy those, he could make a lot of money for charity.
Right.
So I'll let you search for him because you're very good at it.
Well, it's Buddy Collectors is his Twitter handle.
Yes. So there you go. They have, I can't read that, that's far too much. Mental health charity, West Kent Mind, and leading Southeast construction entrepreneur Andrew Mann are urging people to understand and address the symptoms of anxiety, biting nails, and developing coping mechanisms, trapping your hand in the dishwasher, to support their mental well-being in everyday life as part of Mental Health Awareness Week. Andrew Mann is founder of Clarity Homes and Commercial and the local charity West Kent Mind, and they're teaming up to raise awareness about the staggering levels of poor mental health within the construction industry, which sees more than 700 suicides a year, which seems very, very high for the construction industry. He says, I'm now keen to encourage other leaders within the construction industry to start positive dialogue about the sector's culture and how we can change this to create better outcomes for individuals and businesses. After all, happy teams are productive teams. So mental health charity West Kent Mind there leading the way.
Fantastic. Chandra Sharma has tweeted, Simi and Shanice are great and had really got involved in the local community. He says, I'm sorry I missed your launch, which I understand went really well, but sending you best wishes for your business. Tracy Ferguson says about the ladies here, speaking with passion about their care business, care at home business, enjoying the interview with Simi and Shanice very, very much. So thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
There's loads of these. If you ever get a Twitter account, you can read them all. I won't have time to read them all.
You'll have a shot because you're on their own video as well.
Yeah.
Oh, fantastic. Thank you.
Zinat says, thank you for the shout out for Let's Talk Better. And looks forward to seeing me there. I will be there. I bought the ticket. I just got to remember when I'm coming. Wayne Cunnington suggests I drink more coffee and get my act together at the start of introducing people, which is a fair point, to be honest.
And Zinat Narani says, there is no place like home. So many, did you read this or not?
No.
So many mental health and well-being benefits in every aspect, she says. Completely agree, but understand that it's not always possible. And you can hear Zina on Fridays at 10 a.m., Paul Andrews?
Yeah, 10:30.
10:30 a.m., right here on this channel with her own show.
Yeah. Tweet, I completely agree, trying to stay in your own environment for as long as possible with support if needed. Independence with dignity, certainly how I'd like to be in my 90s. Lovely business bunker conversation with Simi and Shanice. Wishing you continued success with your business.
Thank you.
Okay, we've got 3 minutes, and I'm going to try and gamble my way through these. The Marsh Network, there's a breakfast network meeting at Base Point Folkestone. That's at Shearway Business Park. You asked me where that was last week.
Where is it?
Folkestone. And you said, where in Folkestone? And I said, Shearway Business Park. And it's from 7.45 to 9, and it's on the 13th of June.
You've still got your marbles, Paul Andrews. Maidstone Leisure Trust are taking over Health and Fitness Club in Lockmeadow. Don't know where that is.
Maidstone, yeah.
Maidstone, yeah.
By the river.
The clue was in the title.
Yeah, it's by the meadow near the lock.
So the lock... So the Maidstone Borough Council, that was my Scottish by the way, has announced that Maidstone Leisure Trust, in partnership with Serco Leisure, is to take over the running of the fitness club and gym at the Lockmeadow Leisure Centre. The club's currently managed by David Lloyd, who announced that they would be leaving Lockmeadow in May, end of May, and they will take over, MLT, Maidstone Borough Council, will take over and manage the club, which will continue to operate as a private health and fitness facility from the 3rd of June. They currently work with the Trust, which in partnership with Serco Leisure... I'm amazed at Serco. These are my dustbin men.
Yeah, they do.
I'm amazed. Do they do school dinners as well, don't they?
Yeah, yeah, come on. Come on, we've got 1 minute to go. Just stop waffling and get on with it.
With your wrist. So they're planning to also provide exercise classes, swimming classes, along with hair and beauty treatments, laser possibly. And they'll be seeking a new tenant for the hairdressers, beauty therapy treatment rooms and personal trainers. All details, kentbusinessradio.co.uk.
Fantastic. I've got a message here from Kenwood Trust, which is a residential home for people with drink and drug addictions, of which I'm a trustee, very proudly. They've got a classics and coffee event taking place on Sunday the 4th of June. If you turn up with your classic car, sports car or smart car, you get coffee and a bacon sandwich or a toastie. It's only £5 and it's basically a car show on June the 4th at Kenwood Trust, which is at Yalding, just outside Maidstone. Later on I'll put all the details and the address up on Kent Business Radio, but do go along to that, especially if you've got a nice motor that you want to show off and you get a toastie or a bacon sandwich thrown in. You can't argue with that, really, can you?
I'd go for the bacon.
Are you a business based in Canterbury or East Kent, which includes Whitstable, Herne Bay, Margate, Ramsgate and Broadstairs? Why not enter the Canterbury Business Awards 2023. All the categories and entry details are here. The entries close on the 19th of May. So kentbusinessradio.co.uk/business events.
I like what you did there.
Yeah.
Thanks for everybody that's tweeted in. It's been very, very busy, Paul Andrews, hasn't it? It's hard to keep cup. If only Jules, the Forgotten Few, co-hosting the show, and that's in reply, that's Wayne. Oh, I said if he lets me get a word in. I mean, the minute I opened my mouth and even drew breath.
I know.
He was there, Wayne, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So he says, if only Jules, now I understand the context, if only Jules, the Forgotten Few, co-hosting the show. That's me.
There's loads more that we haven't got time to cover. Sorry, if I didn't get to read out your press release or your tweet, I do apologise. We'll try and do it next week. But we've reached the end of another show. I want to say a huge, huge thank you to our three guests today, Mr. George Garnett of Optimise AI, the lovely Shanice and Simi from Radcliffe Home Care Bromley, to my stonkingly gorgeous co-host, Jill Serkin. We'll be back with another show next week. Thank you all for listening. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.